We are in our series, and it's called The Power Of. God avails to us certain gifts. And if we will take these gifts that He gives to us and develop them, then there is nothing in life you can't do. You can have a great life and accomplish great things. You can have a powerful life, a victorious life, and an abundant life. If you don't take these things and develop them, you basically have a wasted life or a life that just didn't mean anything. So we're talking about these specific things, some of them. There are many, many of them. But we've been talking about some of them, such as the power of our words. We talked about that. We talked about the power of our dreams and dreaming until our dreams come true. We talked about the power that's in biblical financial giving. We've talked about that. So today what I wanted to talk about is the powers, hear how I say it, powers, plural, of Thanksgiving. Since Thursday would be Thanksgiving, I just thought that'd be just a great time to talk about Thanksgiving, don't you? So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now I know that Thursday, probably you guys like us, we're going to get together with our family and friends and aliens and all the people that we get together with, and we're going to hold hands at some point in time. We're going to get in a circle and we're going to give thanks for those pilgrims that came over here and begin the foundation and colonization of our great nation. You know, we're going to give thanks and we're going to remember how they went through that horrific first winter and how so many of them perished. But yet they kept a thankful heart. We're all going to be talking about that, right? Isn't that what you do on Thanksgiving? And then what we're also going to do is sure we're holding hands in our little circles. We'll give thanks to each other and tell each other how thankful we are that they're in our lives and a part of our family or my friend or whatever. You know, that's what we do at Thanksgiving, right? Isn't that what everybody does? I have had Thanksgivings, and you know what? I've never done that. Not one time. Does anybody do that on Thanksgiving? Maybe your Thanksgiving is more like our Thanksgiving. You know, we kind of get together. The food is the bait. You know, it gets everybody there. And then we kind of, you know, we're supposed to be together, but everybody's in different rooms. Some watching football, some watching over here in the living room, some doing this, and some cooking, you know, and that's kind of what we do. And then after we've watched football and we've eaten until we can't eat anymore, somebody's going to the mall. You know, the next day after Thanksgiving, which is affectionately called Black Friday, you know, it is the biggest shopping day in the United States of America, which really tells us what we're really thankful for. Right, we're thankful for those low prices. We're thankful for that shopping experience, and it tells us that we're really not thinking about the pilgrims, and we're really not thinking about how much people mean to us, and we're really not thinking about God. You know, we're just having Thanksgiving. You know, and we're giving this amazing day called Thanksgiving Day, but are we really thankful? Do we really stop and take time to thank and be Thanksgiving type of a people? You know, God's children are supposed to be thankful people. You know, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was actually given an offering where they were supposed to take a time and actually give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to read this to you because we're going to pull our first power of thanksgiving from that particular scripture. It's in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29, and it says, "And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving," offer a what? A sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, what I want you to see here is that giving thanksgiving is often a real sacrifice. A lot of times we don't want to give thanksgiving. A lot of times we want to do anything but give thanksgiving. We're angry, we're bitter, we're upset. But I want you to see something here. When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. In other words, when you want to do it. This is what he's telling them. You know, and I was thinking about them, and we'll talk about them a little bit more in a minute, and us. I wonder how many of these offerings were actually given. If it was up to them when to do it, they didn't have a specific day like we have, a Thanksgiving day. You know, if it was up to them, I wonder how frequently they offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And he goes on here, and he said, besides the cakes and the pies and the turkey and the cranberry sauce and the sweet potato casserole, besides all that, He shall offer for his offering leavened bread or yeasted bread, nice fluffy bread, with the sacrifice, there it is again, of thanksgiving. Now here's the part that I'm really after here, of his peace offerings. What I want you to see is while it's up there is a direct connection between the sacrifice of thanksgiving and peace. You see, here's what I want you to see. In the first power that I really want to note is that thanksgiving can produce peace. You can't be upset and angry and bitter when you're giving thanksgiving for the person you're angry and upset and bitter towards. It's impossible to do that. It's impossible to give thanks and be upset. But it requires a thanksgiving of sacrifice. Oh, yeah. See, you just can't do it. I was thinking about something a couple of weeks back. I had a meeting with someone, and it had the potential to really be fracturous. And I was upset. I was a little upset with it. And I knew that I could cause this thing to go south. But the first thing I did was give thanksgiving. I had to say some pretty tough stuff. And I knew that it could be bad. But the first thing I did was give thanksgiving. I was upset. But you know what happened? Immediately, that diminished. That went away. And we had a really, really, really good talk. A really, really good, really good time. See, you can't be upset and not have peace. If you want peace with people and you want peace with God, be a thanksgiving person. You cannot do it and be, you cannot lose your peace and be thankful. And it's a sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes you just don't want to be thankful. You want to be mad. You want to be bitter. But the way you overcome that is being thankful and giving thanksgiving. So the first power that I want you to see that's in thanksgiving is the power to bring peace. Okay. And we equate, don't we, the thanksgiving thing with the circumstances that we're going through. You know, the real thing is that God's children are supposed to be thankful people. Now, we know we're not. The nation of Israel wasn't. They're a prime example of this. When we look at them, they were miraculously delivered from Egypt by God. They were miraculously taken through the Red Sea, opened up and provided them an escape. And that same Red Sea that opened up and provided them an escape crushed the enemies. It fell and collapsed on top of them, destroying the enemy. They went out and on dry ground, crossed, and God miraculously fed them manna from heaven, and quail blew in. It was miraculous. Miraculously, there was water that came from a rock that not only gave them drink, but also provided drink for their livestock. They lived this miraculous, supernatural lifestyle. But were they thankful? Were they thankful? No, they murmured and they grumbled and they complained. Now, here's the point that I'm getting to here. I want to see the second power. What did that get them? What did their murmuring and their grumbling and their complaining get them? Wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Wasted lives. The Bible says their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They couldn't go into the promised land. The difference of a wasted life and a wilderness life and going into your promised land is thanksgiving. If you'll learn to be thankful, God will take you into the promise. What has He promised you? See, what giants are there? Yeah, but He'll take care of those. If you'll be thankful and you'll be a thanksgiving person, you can enter into your promise. So you have peace. Being a thankful person and giving thanksgiving will bring you peace. It's impossible to be at odds with anything or anyone when you're being thankful through it. And it will take you into your promised land, thanksgiving. That's powers of thanksgiving. What's another power that we see in thanksgiving? See, we so equate the level, we're programmed to do this, we're so equate the level of thanksgiving that we experience with the circumstances we're experiencing. Let me show you what I'm talking about. See, and that's so wrong. That's so opposite of what the Bible teaches us to do. Here's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. See, your thankfulness isn't equated to what the circumstances are. Now, I need to make sure we see something here. Is it give thanks in all circumstances or for all circumstances? In. There's a big difference. Right? What's he saying here? You're not thanking God because you're in a negative circumstance. What you're thanking God, what you're doing is you're finding something in that negative circumstance to be thankful for. Now, here's why. He goes on. He says, for, or here's why you do this. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, if you just read through that really, really quickly, what it would sound like is God's will that you're be in this negative circumstance. That's not his emphasis here. See, what he wants you to see is if you'll give thanks in that negative circumstance, that thankfulness, that thanksgiving in that negative circumstance can change the circumstance. I was talking to Kathy Patterson yesterday on the telephone, and I was asking her about how the wedding went Saturday week ago. And she was telling me that they had prayed and they were asking for, Lord bless. You remember, we've had so much rain and they were going to have this wedding outside and they were asking for clear weather. And so they had asked for that and they had gotten it. And skies were beautiful and blue. But the wind was blowing like crazy. If you recall, we were having like 40 mile an hour wind gust, you know. And so she took a moment and she says, Lord, thank you for the beautiful weather and thank you for everything that's going on. And thank you for this time. But Lord, do you think that maybe you can slow this wind down a little bit? And she didn't know it, but Mike was praying the same thing. Except Mike was adding to his prayer. He wanted not just 1 hour, which is Kathy was asking for, 1 hour of the wind to die down. He was wanting two. But also he was asking God to multiply the food. He said, we didn't have enough food. So you know what? Mike said there was food left over and the wind died down and they were able to have. So I want you to see something now. Now you say, Delbert, God doesn't do that. God don't slow the wind down. Well, ask Mike and Kathy. God will do, he moves when we're thankful. It is miraculous what can happen if we will just be thankful people. See, what we do, and we all do this, is we get in this pig pen of circumstance. And we start wallowing in our pity, and we start in this circumstance, we start complaining, we start murmuring, we start grumbling, we start being sour and bitter. And we're in this circumstance and we're wallowing in this hogmire, you know, and we're just filthy with it. But if you're a child of God, what he will do is he'll quicken you. He'll stop you and give you an opportunity to look around. Now, do you want to keep doing this or do you want to change it? Do you want to be thankful, find something to give thanksgiving for, or do you want to keep wallowing in this mud? And we have the opportunity. See, and if we keep feeding this circumstance with negative stuff, with being sour, with being bitter, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. It's not going to make it better. What it will do, though, is make it worse. See, you got to realize when you're feeding into this situation, this negative stuff, you cannot. It's impossible for you to be happy in a circumstance when you're feeding negative stuff into it. Now, I want to show you this in the scripture. This is pretty powerful. This is King David in Psalm 77:3. David says this: I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And my spirit was overwhelmed. Salah. Think about that. Now, leave that up there for a second. Let me just talk through this. Let me show you. Have you ever seen a happy complainer? You haven't, because they don't make them. It's impossible to be happy and be complaining. And what David is saying here is that I was in this circumstance, and I remembered to pray about it. And I was praying to God about it. I remembered God in the thing. And I was complaining to God. I was telling him about how bad the circumstance was and how awful it was. I was being bitter and I was complaining and I was murmuring and grumbling and going on. And what did he say happened? Did it get better or did it get worse? It got worse is what he said. And my spirit was overwhelmed. It didn't relieve the situation. It overwhelmed the situation. And then he says, Salah, let's think about this. So if I feed negative stuff and complain in my circumstance, it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. Okay. I need to learn from that. And we all need to learn from that. See, what happens is we feed into the thing. We feed the sourness and the bitterness and the anger and the frustrations. And we wallow in the quagmire of all of this. And we stay dirty and nasty. And this is what we feed in our spirit. David said, my spirit was overwhelmed. And so what happens is you become what you eat. You do in the natural and you do in the spiritual. And your spirit becomes overwhelmed because your spirit is going to become what it eats. So what we've got to learn how to do is understand that it doesn't fix anything. The only thing that it's really going to do is make it worse. You cannot complain in a circumstance and be happy and it get better. It will only get worse. Now, the opposite is just as true. If you will give thanksgiving in that circumstance, you cannot be unhappy. You can't complain. It's impossible to be unhappy and have your spirit overwhelmed with grief and sadness and bitterness when you're giving thanksgiving. So what I really want to do is I want to challenge you. I want you to change your complaining into thanksgiving. And I want to challenge you to, for 1 month, not to complain. Now, that's impossible because you can't do that. So how about let's do 1 day? Do you think you could go 1 day without complaining? I can't. I'll just be honest. I checked myself out. I wanted to see. I was absolutely astonished at how much and I'm a positive person. And I was amazed at how much I complain about. And I want to challenge you to do that. Take note of how much you complain about during the day. But what I have learned is that when I would catch myself in that negative situation, when I would pull myself and I would stop and I would take the opportunity to find something to be thankful about, my whole countenance changed. My everything, the whole perspective of the situation and the circumstance changed. It was miraculous. I began to feel a glow. I began to feel like I was something special and that I had this power. And that's exactly what the scripture says. And I want to show you this scripture. This is what it says. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, do everything. Do how much? Do everything without what? Without complaining or arguing. So that, here is why, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Terry was talking about that earlier. We live in a depressed, depraved, crooked generation. You talk to anybody, they're going to be down. They're going to, something's wrong, and they're down, and they're depressed, and they're depraved, and they're negative. They're living in darkness. He says, you don't have to live like that. You can have a higher life in this depraved generation in which you shine. Look at this. Shine like stars in the universe. You can live a supernatural life. You can live in the heavenlies. You can live supernaturally if you will not complain about anything. You can go up and you can become a star. You can live the real high life if you'll just not complain about stuff and stay thanksgiving about everything. You know, you can be the star over Bethlehem. You can shine and guide people to Christ Jesus. They'll look at you living this supernatural lifestyle. You're thankful and you're abundant and you're victorious and you're going through life with abundance. When you live like that, you're drawing people. You're a light in the universe. You can live this amazing, victorious life. Thanksgiving has the power to bring you peace. Thanksgiving has the power to take you into your promised land. Thanksgiving has the power to change your circumstances. And thanksgiving has the power to make you a supernatural life that you can live abundantly, a real high life. Well, what else? What else is there? Well, there's so much that we have. And see, we have to really understand. See, we need to turn our complaining into thanksgiving. And we need to be so thankful for everything that God's given to us. See, if you have a Bible, if you have one Bible, you should be thankful for it. One-third of the population of this planet does not have access to a Bible. What's so special about that, Delbert? Well, that's the keys to the kingdom of God. In that Bible is God's Word, and He tells you how to live an abundant life. He tells you and instructs you how to live in the kingdom of God, how to live victorious in abundance, how to live in power and victory. Listen, if you have a Bible, you are blessed. Now you need to blow it off and you need to read it. But listen, I'm telling you, that is the key to having a successful, victorious life. If you woke up today, you should be thankful. 1 million people won't make it through this week. They won't survive this week. If you're not suffering from the pangs of starvation, you should be thankful. 500 million people right now on this planet is suffering from starvation. If you have food in your refrigerator, and I can look at you and tell you do. If you have clothes on your back, if you have a roof over your head, if you have access, not even have $20, but you have access, you could get $20, and you have a place to sleep tonight, listen, you are richer than 75% of the people on this planet. What is there not to be? Why do we allow ourselves to let these little trivial things, little nitpicky things, so control us and rob us of the power that God's given to us? There's so much to be thankful for. We need to thank God for life and all that life contains, all the wonders that are in life. Husbands, you need to be thankful for your wives. I'll say it again. Husbands, you need to be thankful for your wives. And you need to tell her. You don't mind telling her when you're not thankful and you're aggravated with her. You need to tell her how thankful that you really are for her. Listen, she's the best thing that ever happened to you. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 says, the man who finds a wife finds a good thing, but what's really good there is he finds the favor of God. It's because of her you have the favor of God on your life. You need to tell her that. Imagine how it would be if you came home. And instead of coming in all grumbly and mopey and stomping around and yelling and screaming and pitching a fit, if you came in with flowers and a card, imagine what your life, what your marriage would experience then. And I got convicted about this because it's been a while since I had done it. So yesterday I went and got some flowers and a card. I just want you to know that it changes the perspective. And I sat down and I told her, I said, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I love you. Thank you. Thank you for tolerating me. Now, that's a lot right there. You're tolerating me. But see, we need to tell them that. We need to tell them. And we don't need to focus on the things that aggravate us. And there's some. We all have things that aggravate the spouse or spouses. But we don't need to focus on that. What we really need to focus on are the things that bless our lives. The things that our spouse, or specifically what I'm talking about husbands now, the things that our wives do for us, that causes our life to be good and abundant and a real blessing. See, when you do this, your whole perspective of your spouse changes. You see her as something really special and precious. And your whole perspective of your marriage. See, listen, Thanksgiving holds the power to change and maybe even save your marriage. Wives, you need to be thankful for your husbands. And you need to tell him. You don't mind telling me that he's not doing what you want him to do. You don't mind telling your Facebook buddies that he's not doing what you think he should do, or people on the telephone. You need to tell him, though, that you're thankful for him. And that you appreciate him. And don't be focusing on his dirty underwear and dirty socks and everything else he does that's dirty. Don't be focusing on that. What you want to focus on is what he's done for you and how he's provided for you and how he wants you to have the best life that he can provide and help you have. And you need to say, I will never forget. One day I went home and Judy, and you have to understand our lives. At this particular time, we were doing a lot of counseling. She was spending hours and hours and hours on the phone talking to women who were complaining about their husband. They weren't paying the bills. They weren't taking care of the kids. You know, they were, and she sat me down and she says, I want to thank you for taking care of me. You've been a good husband. You've been a good father. Thank you. Now imagine. How did that make me feel? Yeah, buddy. I'm the man. Listen, this is what it will do when you tell your spouse how special they are and how thankful you are for them. This is what it is. And it changes the whole perspective. Ma'am, wife, it will change your perspective of your husband if you will just start focusing on what he's doing for you and not focusing on his dirty socks, dirty underwear, and what he's not doing. It will change your marriage. It has the power. Thanksgiving has the power to change your marriage and even save your marriage. It does. Parents, we need to be thankful for our children. We need to tell them. I won't forget. I'll never forget it. I was one of the first people in my lineage on my side of our family to graduate from high school and college. And I was visiting my mother. And my mama always had these little jobs for me to do. She wanted me to fix a light or fix a commode. Or she always had something for me to do. And it get to me a little bit sometimes. You know, Mom, every time I come over to see you, every time I come to see you, you know, you got something for me to do. And so, you know, but this particular day I'm there and talking with Mom, go visit her. And she says, Double Ray, she says, I want to tell you how thankful I am for you, how proud I am of you. I'm proud for that you've gone to college and you're trying to do something with your life. You're trying to make something of yourself. And she says, I'm just so, you've been a good son to me. Thank you. Now, how did I feel about fixing a light? How did I feel about doing anything that she wanted to do? You got a commode that needs fixing? What can I do to help you? You know, and it totally changes your perspective of things. And when you tell somebody that you're thankful for them and you give thanksgiving that they are there, it totally changes everything about it. And parents, we need to stop just yelling and punishing our children. We need to be thankful for them. Yeah, we got to discipline them. That's what we do as parents. A good parent is going to not spare the rod. That's what a good parent will do. But we got to blend in their thanksgiving, because they'll never, ever, the rest of their life, forget it. And they'll also never, ever, for the rest of their life, remember that you never told them that you were thankful for them. We need to learn the power that's in Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has the power to reconcile you with your children. Children, you need to give thanksgiving for your parents. Listen, hear what I'm about to say. All that they already sacrificed for you, multiply it. If you start saying, thank you, I appreciate you, Mom and Dad, I realize you're sacrificing for me, you can just multiply what they're already doing. That's all we want to hear. All we ever hear is, I need, I want, give me. I need, I want, give me. I need, I want, give me. That's what we hear from you so often and so frequently. We just want you to thank us. We don't want you to pay us back. We just want you to tell us that you appreciate what we're doing for you. You don't realize what your parents are sacrificing so you can look nice in school, so that you can wear nice clothes, so that you can have a nice automobile. You don't realize what we're sacrificing for you in being a parent and a grandparent. I've got a real good perception of this now, you know. And it is so good. Jack and Max now are both taller than I am, and but when they were 6 and 5, they're our two oldest grandchildren. I would take them, and we would go shopping, and I'd buy them whatever they wanted. That's what grandparents do. And, you know, and so they buy me, "Aw, Daddy, Aw, Daddy, will you buy me this?" And that's what they call me, "Aw, Daddy." So, but anyway, so one day I get a package, a gift from them. And what they have is made this little gift for me and made it, colored it, and a little picture for me. And they put a dollar in there with it and give it to me, sent it to me. Now, I open this up. You know, and what they're doing is they're saying, thank you. Thank you for what you give us. We're thinking about you. Now, next time I took them and they said, "Aw, Daddy, will you buy me?" What did I do? Well, is that all you want? Listen, I just want you to know, young people, be thankful. Give thanksgiving to your parents. They sacrifice for you. They love you. There's a power in there that will help you and help you reconcile with your parents and your parents with you, and there's a power in thanksgiving in the family. We also need to be thanksgiving for our occupation. Now, how would it be, instead of if you were murmuring and grumbling and complaining about your boss and your job, and you went in there one day and you went up to your boss and you said, "Yeah, I just want to thank you. I know I'm not the easiest person to supervise, but I just want to tell you thank you for tolerating me, putting up with me. I just want to thank you for that you have provided for me a place where I can have a salary. And you work hard to keep me working." And I appreciate that. What if you took time and wrote a letter to higher management, and that letter went to the higher management, and you said, "Listen, I just want to thank you for providing a place for people to have employment, where they can have a salary to take care of their family, where you provide us benefits. You know, I know you wish you could give us more benefits. I know you wish you could pay us a higher salary, but I just want to take a moment and just thank you for it." Now, here's what I'm getting at. Now, when it comes time to give somebody a promotion, or it comes time to evaluate you for a raise, or maybe there's a layoff. And there's this old grumbly person who's complaining and murmuring and negative and sour. And then there's you who gives thanksgiving. Who's going to get the raise? Who's going to get the promotion? Who's going to be not cut? Who's not going to be laid off? Because there's a power in thanksgiving. See, there's a power that changes circumstances in thanksgiving. Yeah, there's a power that'll bring you peace in thanksgiving. There's a power in thanksgiving that's going to take you into your promised land. There is a power in thanksgiving that will change circumstances for you. It'll stop the wind from blowing, provide food. There's an amazing power here. There's a power that will raise you into a supernatural lifestyle. You'll shine. You'll shine in the universe. You'll be a star in the universe with thanksgiving. There's a power in thanksgiving that can save or change your marriage. There's a power in thanksgiving that will reconcile you with your children. There's a power in thanksgiving that will reconcile, that will cause a child to be a better child and a parent to be a better parent. There's power in it. There's a power in thanksgiving that will save your job, give you a raise, or get you a promotion. Thanksgiving has powers. It is a powerful, powerful tool if you'll learn how to use it and develop it. What's another power that thanksgiving has? Well, how about our church? We should be thankful for our church, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we give God thanksgiving for our church? The Apostle Paul was amazing at this. He would begin his epistles with thanksgiving, and then he would just rip them. I mean, he would start off giving them thanksgiving, and then he would just go at them and tell them all the things they were doing wrong. And it's kind of amazing. But I want to show you this. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, first, this is the first thing he wants to do. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. See, we need to thank God for our church. And thank God for the people that are in our church. The building's not the church. We are the church. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:4. He says, I always thank God for you. Ephesians 1:16. I have not stopped giving thanks for you. And then in the New Living Translation of Philippians 1:3, it says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. When was the last time you thanked God for your church? I try. I want it to be one of the last things I say to you. Thank you. We come in here, people are here doing things that you have no idea have to be done if we're going to have a service here. And I want to tell them thank you. Thank you, camera people. Thank you. Thank you, people on the audio. Thank you, teachers in the back. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for all that you do. Greeters, and I'm not going to mess up and leave somebody out. But thank everybody. Thank every one of you for coming today and being here. Thank you. You didn't have to come here. There's 100 churches, or maybe more, that you could have went to. You probably passed churches to get here. You don't have to come here, but thank you for coming, and thank you for coming here to church. Thank you for whatever that you gave in the offering. Thank you if you didn't give anything. Just thank you. See, I am so thankful for each and every one of you. I thank God for you. I really, really do. You bless my life. You encourage me. You tell me that was good. Sometimes you don't say anything about that, but you just say, well, you have a good week, you know. But you know, but I just love that I get to see you. Thank you. And, you know, in every church, you have these little nitpick things that are going on. And churches have their problems. And you know, and sometimes we can get so focused on them. And we lose the focus on what we're really here to do. But what thanksgiving does, the power of thanksgiving, when you're thankful for your church and you're giving thanksgiving for your church, is it makes all that seem so minuscule. And it makes what really is important, the focus, makes it big. That's the power of thanksgiving in a church. We really get to focus on what we're really here to do, to save souls, to minister to people, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to teach the word of God and change lives. And we're here for the right reasons. And the power of thanksgiving in a church, when you're thankful for your church, keeps you focused on what Jesus really wants to accomplish here. So thanksgiving has a power to bring you peace. It has a power to take you into your promised land. It has a power to change circumstances and pigpen situations. It has a power to cause you to be a supernatural person, like a star in the universe. It has a power to change or help your marriage. It has a power to reconcile you with your children, your children with you. It has a power to save or help your job, get you a raise and a promotion. It has a power to make your church a better church. Those are 8 things that I mentioned. We could probably keep going on and on and on about the powers that are in Thanksgiving. It's limitless. But say you're not a Thanksgiving person. That's not your nature. You're a grumbly, sad, sour person. And you know you are. And what's so bad about that is people know they are and won't change. They really enjoy being sour and negative and not giving Thanksgiving. They enjoy talking about people and being bad about people. They enjoy living in that darkness. But say you wanted to change. Maybe you know you're not a positive person and you've tried to change before, but you weren't ever able to change. Well, how do you change? How do you become a Thanksgiving kind of a person that God wants us to be? How do you do that? Well, it's really simple. It only requires discipline on your part. If you will discipline your life to several times a day, give Thanksgiving for something, it will change your life and it will make you successful. And I want to show you this. It's in the book of Daniel. It's in chapter 6 of Daniel. And I'll set the context up here in just a second. But let me read you the verse. Daniel 6:10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published." Now, just hold on to that thought. I'll set this up and explain it to you in just a moment. But there had been a decree, and Daniel was very aware of this decree. Aware of the decree, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows open toward Jerusalem. So he opens up the windows towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel disciplined his life where three times a day he gave thanks for something. He gave thanks to God for something. If you want to be a Thanksgiving person, it requires some discipline. You have to put your mind to it, because our human nature is to be negative. Our human nature is to be sour. Our human nature is to go against things rather than thanking God for things. And so that's the first thing that I really want to say to you. But see, Daniel, because of being thankful and being a Thanksgiving person, became very successful. He was a Jew living in Babylon. He was a Jew, and he had power, and he had authority, and he had wealth. He had a nice house. He had a two-story house. He was, you know, he lived an abundant life because he was thankful. He was a Thanksgiving person. Let me tell you about his story. Daniel, as a young boy, lived in Jerusalem. He was raised there. He was a Jew. Well, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon and the Assyrians, they invaded Judea. They destroyed the city. They tore down the walls. They tore down the temple. They took all the artifacts back to Babylon. They killed all the people except for those that were the most perfect, or those that they called excellent. Educated people. People that took care of themselves. People that had something to offer to society. And so this was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And everybody else was killed. Then they took Daniel and several others, and they took them off to Babylon, made them slaves. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I want you to see. His nation had been conquered. His city destroyed. His worship destroyed. His parents were murdered. He was now taken off to slavery into Babylon, where he was made a eunuch. They took his manhood away from him. Yet Daniel found a way. All the negative things, the bad things that he went through, all the bad circumstances that he found himself in, all the bad things, he still found a way to give thanks to God in all these things. Three times a day, found a way to give thanks to God about something. Listen, you and I, we've been through some bad circumstances. You've suffered some stuff. You have. We all have. But you've never went through what he went through. You never experienced the circumstances Daniel experienced. So if he's able to three times a day find something to give thanks for, certainly you can. Certainly I can. And so Daniel was this kind of a person. And in this particular aspect of his story, it says there that he knew about the decree, that the decree had been published. So let me set this up for you. There were some men that were very, very jealous of Daniel. He was a Jew living in Babylon, and they didn't like him being a Jew. He was powerful. He had money. He had wealth. He was doing very, very well, and they were very jealous of him. And they wanted him taken down. They wanted him taken out. And so what they did is influence the king to make a decree. And the decree was basically this. If anybody prays to any other god except the Babylonian gods, and specifically the king, then they will be thrown into a lion's den. And you're familiar with the lion's den story. So this is the decree. The decree was that whoever was found praying to another god other than the Babylonian gods would be thrown into this lion's den. Well, Daniel was aware of the decree, but did that stop him giving thanksgiving? See, nothing should stop us from giving thanksgiving. Threw open the windows, kneeled down, started praying, and he was seen. And he was arrested. Now, when the king heard of this, he loved Daniel. He appreciated Daniel. He tried to rescue Daniel, but he couldn't because of the decree. Daniel was taken, thrown in the lion's den, and it was sealed. The next morning, the king comes out. Daniel, was your God able to save you? Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God not only saved me, but he sent down an angel that shut these lions' mouths. And I've never done anything to hurt you. I've never come against you, O king. Well, Daniel was rescued. And you know who went into the lion's den? Those people who were jealous and lied about Daniel. They threw them in the lion's den. The Bible says that before they hit the ground, they were devoured by the lions. And Daniel prospered. Daniel was excellent. Daniel had this right spirit, and the right spirit of Daniel is to give thanksgiving. Here's what the Bible says about Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Listen, if you want to be a thanksgiving person, you've got to set your mind to it. And several times a day, find something to give thanksgiving for, and it will change your life. It will make you successful. It'll bring you into wealth. It'll bring you into health. It'll bring you into prosperity. There are powers in thanksgiving. So what lion's den is attempting to devour you? What is attempting? What have you been thrown into? What circumstance are you thrown into? Is it your health? Is your health devouring you? Well, thank God for the health you have. Find something in that circumstance to give thanksgiving for. Watch that thing change. How about peace? Something devouring your peace? Find something where you can give thanksgiving. It's impossible to lose your peace when you're being thankful. There's too many giants in your promised land. Negative people keeping you out. Listen, the difference of entering into your promised land and living a wasted life is thanksgiving. Give thanksgiving and enter into your land flowing with milk and honey. What circumstance is there? What circumstances got you? What pig pen circumstance? You're wallowing in the negativity of it and the sour and the bitterness and the anger of it. Stop. Find something, because it's only going to get worse unless you do. Stop. The wind will stop blowing. The food will be multiplied. Things are going to change miraculously. You're going to become a star in the universe. You're going to live a supernatural life because of thanksgiving and not complaining about anything. How about your marriage? Is it devouring you? Marriages can. Listen, start being thankful for your spouse. Husband, be thankful for your wife. Wives, be thankful for your husband. Focus on what they do, the blessings that they are to you. That thing will change. You'll save that marriage. Children devouring you? Children can. Find something. Do the discipline. You'd be a good parent. But find a place to thank that child for what they do well. Children, thank your parents for what they sacrifice for you. It'll change your life and theirs. There's power in thanksgiving. Be thankful. How about your job? Is it devouring you? Jobs will. Occupations will. They get nasty. Find something in there to be thankful for. Being thankful for your occupation will save your job, get you a raise, get you a promotion. Be thankful for your church. We're about to go into the time of prayer here. A great time. Every time I have communion, I begin my communion with thankfulness. That's what Jesus did. He gave thanks. That's a great time. If you're going to come up and have communion today, then thank God for our church. Thank God for what He's done in your life. Be thankful. Let this be a time, a week, really, as Terry said, of thanksgiving. It should be a week of thanksgiving. What's devouring you? What lions are trying to crush you? Let me tell you, you can defeat them and shut their mouths. God will send an angel supernaturally and shut the mouth of the thing that's trying to devour you if you will be a thankful person and give thanksgiving. Let's pray.